think we're ready to get started this evening. Go ahead and start the broadcast. Bear with us for just a moment on the phone. And it looks like we're live. Well, welcome to Tuesday night celebration of life. It's great to be back with you again. We look forward to these opportunities to meet on a weekly basis to take on these principles and bring them into our lives. We're going to take on a very special topic tonight, physical creation. Before we start, I just felt impressed to thank all of you for being here. I know there's a lot of things you could be doing in your life tonight, and you've chosen to be here. And I'm going to show up and give you all that I've got left today. It's been a wonderful day of coaching. I've had about 8 coaching sessions with amazing people taking on a variety of challenges in their life. It's just so thrilling to see people willingly surrender to these principles. Our mission is to help someone to engage in life and to embrace these principles and connect and serve and create value everywhere they go and contribute to the world, enrich the world, leave it a better place for being here. It's just so rewarding to see people take on their lives, and thank you for being here tonight and taking on your life. Pull out your pen and your paper. We're going to talk about what could be one of the single most difficult topics. And I'm going to do my very best tonight to serve you because I want so badly for you to know how this is done, because there are principles that govern creation. And sometimes because of things that are happening in our lives, we may inadvertently violate them, and then we wonder why things aren't working the way we want them to, and we get terribly frustrated and even bitter and angry. So tonight, let's really strap on our thinking caps and pull out our hearts and dive into the real issues that are at stake. Because we're really not here for ease. We're not really here to relax. We're here to take the clay we've been given and create the most we can with it. That's not because we're supposed to work hard. It's because the joy and the journey comes when we're in that space. When you've had a great day and you poured your heart into something, remember how it feels? Isn't it a great feeling, the sense of accomplishment, especially if you've been procrastinating something, you jump in and it's done and it's off your plate. This is life. This is life. This is the tangible reality in which we currently are living. Now, to get really clear on this topic, let's go back to mental creation just for a moment, because creation requires 2 stages. And these stages are interrelated and interdependent. And each one of them is critical to the process. If we do the first one incorrectly, the second one is really difficult. If we do the first one, we're not going to even want to do the second one. We spend time teaching, and we have over the last couple of weeks, using our mind constructively, this vivid visualization that we have, going into our mind with those intentions I mentioned a few moments ago, engaging in life and embracing, wanting to connect and create value everywhere we go, creating value, and serving and enriching, when that is our intention. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes life is just so difficult. We just want to get away from it. We want it to be easy. We don't want any more stress and pain. We're tired of all of that. Well, we don't get to avoid it on this planet. Even if we go to what I've called the mental monasteries of meditation to escape. Quieting your mind is a wonderful thing to do if we're doing it to prepare ourselves to come back into the real world to take it on more effectively. If we're using it as an escape mechanism, when we come out, life just slaps us in the face and it's painful. So we want to use our mind in a way. I want to say this so clearly. You've heard me say this 100 times, but tonight I just want to drive it into our souls. We want to use our mind in a way that we're on the stage of our mind. We've come there really wanting to live, to be a part of life, to serve and bless people's lives. And we've come to see possibilities. We want a vision for our life. A dream. A dream. We talked about that we do want to dream, not fantasize, because we fantasize, we want that, and then we want to start living beyond it in our mind. A dream is a place where we see the possibilities in a relationship, in a business, and then we begin to focus on what it's going to take us to get there. But here's the key. When we use our mind constructively, in this very sacred place called mental creation, we want to guard this place. We don't want to be off in pornography addictions or despair and discouragement, those dark, awful places. We want to be in a place where the power of the universe, the force of creation, can manifest, and I use that word specifically, can manifest an inspired, another key word, idea, impression, or a solution to a challenge. Ramona's sitting right here with me. I had one of these this morning. It lit me on fire and sustained me through the day. It was a piece in the book that was missing. And I got out of a coaching session this morning and I discovered what was missing. We've talked about it. It just wasn't in the book. It's changed the whole face, the whole energy. It's going to lift it notches. That's what we're talking about. It was something I've been pleading for, guidance, to wanting so badly for this book to touch lives and inspire people, breathe life into them, to show them how to dig out of the dark pit and find the light of success. That's the burning desire. And when we have that desire about what we're doing, we can get a vision. Ramona's sitting right here with me. I could reach out and squeeze her hand. I just did. She happened to be out of the home office this morning. I was on the phone with her. And we almost cried together. She's nodding her head, yes. It was that precious. That's where we want to be. Because when we get one of those, we know that there's a part of her. I could feel it this morning. I could feel that part of my brain lighting up. That lights up our passion. That's all that's supposed to happen in mental creation. A clear and worthy vision and the igniting of passion. That's why we're in mental creation. That's why we've been given the ability to vividly visualize. That's why we want to have the right intention. We can't want to escape and have ease and no more stress and no more pain. This will not happen. We cannot fantasize big enough to get an inspiring idea that ignites our passion. It's in conflict. It is not congruent. We want to be in a very intentional space. And then we get those moments. And when they come, they are so glorious. I know some of you, all of you have had them at one time or another. They just get you excited. You hardly sleep. This has been an interesting day. We've been going 14 hours. And as Ramona would know, without a break all day long, it's just been straight through. Today's our Cub Scouts came at 4 o'clock for our Weeblos meeting. Sandwich that in there. Still on fire and excited. Can't wait to get to the book tonight. Tonight. To start putting this piece in. We work without counting the cost or tracking the time when we're driven by passion. If we do not mentally create appropriately, we're just going to be discouraged and frustrated when facing reality, physical creation. You see, we don't get to skip the work of it. Mental creation does not create physical reality. It manifests inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to challenges. And it's glorious, and it ignites our passion. What a gift to have that manifest to us. And now we get to bring that passion into this here and now and do the physical work of creation. And it's not hard, and it's not boring, And it's not mundane or repetition or burdensome. It's repetitious or burdensome. It's not any of those things. It's exciting. It's joyful. I'll repeat it for the second time tonight. We work without counting the costs or tracking the time. We'll do whatever is required, to create intangible reality, that which we've seen so clearly in our mind, what has been manifest to us, the gift we received of seeing the possibility of what could happen. And we have such confidence in the source, we have such confidence in the vision, that we do know that is possible if, that is possible if we stay focused on creating the millimeters between here and there. I don't know anyone who can create big dreams in tangible reality without passion, a big fantasy. Won't do the work. It's too hard. And we're seeing this sequence in assessments, people just being overwhelmed by the work required to get to where their dreams have already taken them. Wow, a little bit of a soapbox. I can almost feel my energy coming out of me and hopefully into you so you can feel this. This glorious thing that happens of manifestation of ideas. Oh, just so thrilling. And now we come here. If we don't have passion, couple things will happen. One, we'll want to escape to fantasy. Two, we're going to want to escape to what I would call mental monasteries of meditation, physical places where peace abounds because there's no conflict. They exist on this planet in the sense of a monastery. And we can go there for quiet and peace in preparation. But the instant we think that that is what is in reality, we are in trouble. We can go to seminars and spend weekends with like-minded people, doors closed, in this peaceful, wonderful place of communion. And that's a glorious experience if you've done one like that. Ramona and I have been through that. If you don't come out and get frustrated with the world for not being in the same space, that makes the world wrong and us the only ones that are aware. That's a dangerous place to be. We start becoming judgmental and frustrated instead of loving and kind. We want to come out of those kinds of experiences committed to doing whatever necessary to bless other people, to help them become more aware. The relationships, how they're impacting the world. Third thing, that kind of ties to the second one. We can get caught up in what I call the spokes of the wheel, reading books and CDs and listening to DVDs and going to seminars and trainings and even coaching. What I do. You see, the work of creation is the bridge between preparation and realization. Preparation isn't the work of creation. It's preparation to do the work. And I fear that there are times when we get addicted to the preparatory state, believing we're doing the work of creation. And we can become increasingly frustrated that life isn't showing up the way we want to. Well, we're not doing the work. We're preparing to do the work, but if we view the preparation as the work, we're going to be in trouble. We don't want self-improvement to wrap this big warm blanket around us and have us be complacent, waiting for success to show up, because it won't. We must be in action. In action. Now, if we're going to be in action, let's be in passion-driven action. If we've mentally created appropriately, we are. If that hasn't happened, then get into action, and we'll start to get a clearer vision. It may come after the fact. Og even talks about this in Scroll 9, when he talks about the firefly Anybody had a chance to read this lately? This is a great scroll. Scroll 9, when he said, henceforth I'll remember the lesson of the firefly. It gives off its light only when it's on the wing. Now, it gives off its light. That means that's the inspiration. That's the inspired idea, impression, solution to a problem. Only when it is in action. I will become a firefly. And even in the day, my glow, I'm going to be inspiring, I'll breathe life into people, will be seen in spite of the sun. Let others be as butterflies who preen their wings yet depend on the charity of a flower for life. These are the people spending all their time in preparation and doing all these wonderful things. Now, I read books and listen to CDs and watch DVDs. But we want to be very clear, this is preparing for us to go to work the next moment. It's not the work itself. And we could preen our wings and wait for the charity of a flower. I will be as the firefly, and my light will brighten the world. This is where we want to be. So whether we bring the inspiration, that passion, or we create it in action, we'll want to focus on the millimeters of creation, doing the work of creation. And we will want to be passion-driven, or it's going to be very difficult to sustain. Let everybody have this idea. Now someone says, gosh, the physical work of creation. Yeah, physical work of creation. Passion-driven, two things happen. And they're both miraculous. Remember that force of creation, that power in the universe that manifested an idea, showed us the possibility that ignited our passion? That's how it participates in mental creation. Now, some people may want to argue with this, and I don't need to be right about it. I've just cleaned up so many messes from people who want to believe something different and end up broken and angry. I would ask you to open your mind to possibilities, if this is hard to hear. Because when we get into the physical work of creation, if we are passion-driven and we're in action and our intention is to connect and serve and create value everywhere we go and enrich the world and contribute, if that's really our intention, then that same force of creation, that same power in the universe, I call that power God, does two more things for us, at least two more, but two very pronounced things. One, as we're doing all that we can do, it endows us with even more. It either steps in and does some of the work for us, or endows us with the ability to actually do it. It's pretty miraculous. Two, that power puts people on our path who we can serve and who will serve us. Now that's why there's a kernel of truth to what we call the millionaire magic doctrine. That's a doctrine where we want to believe there's a fantasy fairy that will magically manifest our wishes if we just visualize them with enough intention. We say to the universe, this is what I want, and the universe says, your wish is my command. It doesn't work that way. That's just not how it happens. But that power is very real. And it will manifest the idea, and it'll stand by your side in partnership as you execute on the actions required to create in those millimeters. Here's the truth. There is power. But that power will never grant us something that would cause us to skip through or past the very process that allows us to stretch and grow and become all that we're meant to be. Think about that for a moment. Are you better off today because of what you've learned? Just think about all the experiences you've had and what it's done to help you be who you are, your character, your strength. Now, some of those were painful. that power would never grant us something that would cause us to miss the very opportunity for that growth. A couple of practical reasons. One, if we were given it before we're prepared, we wouldn't know how to handle it. I look at successful people, and the one thing that I see in common is that they can handle enormous levels of stress almost effortlessly. That which would crush the average person, they handle 15 of them in a day. Now, there was a time when they couldn't do it, but now they do. Their ability has increased. They have grown. As Og said, today I shed my old skin, which had too long suffered the bruises of failure and the wounds of mediocrity. Today I am born anew, and my birthplace is a vineyard where there's fruit for all. The opening paragraph of scroll number one, why are we shedding our old skin? It's because it doesn't fit anymore. We've grown. And if we are doing what the scrolls tell us, we've grown and we've got to shed this old skin. We can't stay inside of it anymore. We're bigger than that. And then bigger the next day and bigger than that. And as we grow, we have ever-increasing ability to handle ever-increasing complications in life, which allows us to become increasingly successful and impactful in creating value everywhere we go and contributing to the world. Why? With the force of creation, the power in the universe, ever grant something to us that would rob us of that very opportunity? It never would and never will. So just know that when we're asking for ease, we're asking for something it will not grant. In scroll number 10, Og talks about this. He said, who's not cried out when confronted with danger, death, or mystery beyond his normal experience or comprehension? We cry out. But they said this, never will I pray for material things of the world. I'm not calling to a servant to bring me food. I'm not ordering an innkeeper to provide me with room. Never will I seek delivery of gold, love, good health, petty victories, fame, success, or happiness. Og, what's left? Only for guidance will I pray, that inspired idea, impression, or a solution to a challenge, that I may be shown the way to acquire these things, and my prayer will always be answered. I will ask not for gold or garments, or even opportunities equal to my ability. Instead, I will seek to acquire ability equal to my opportunities. We ask for inspired ideas. We ask for doors of opportunity to open, and we step in and do the work. That's the deal. So here we are, mental creation. Hopefully, if we've done it properly, it's ignited our passion. Now we're facing the actual tangible creation of that which we've seen in our mind. Now this is done in linear time. In our mind, we can create a Learjet in a nanosecond. They can't even manufacture them that quickly if we had the money to pay for one today. It takes months. Linear time. We are living in linear time. This is the now. And one of the great challenges we face is that the vast majority of us, me and myself included, have a tendency to spend far too much time somewhere else in our mind while our body sits here in the present. It's always here. It is always here. No matter where we are, it's always here. But our mind is not always there. It's in the past, lamenting mistakes, wishing things were different. Or it's in the future, tormenting ourselves with things that may never come to pass, or fantasizing about what it would be like if we had. And all of that energy spent in the past or the future robs us from bringing our body and our mind together. so that we can intentionally create that which we've seen in our mind. Well, this is an interesting challenge. We face fear. We know in Scroll 9, Og says that my procrastination is born of fear. My procrastination has held me back. He said, I've learned the secret mind from the hearts of all courageous souls that to conquer fear, I must act without hesitation. And the flutters in my heart will vanish. Now I know that action reduces that lion of terror to that of equanimity. How come? It's very simple. When we finally stop procrastinating and finally jump in to do the task, we shut off the noise in our head. And we show up. Us, the real us. I am. We show up in all our magnificence. What do we usually say when we get done? Wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why did I wait so long? Well, why did we? Because our head was full of self-doubt and fear and confusion and fantasy. All the thought processes we're working on shifting so we can shut them up so that what showed up when we stopped procrastinating can be where we live all the time. However, we may have for a lifetime practiced procrastination, jumping in, experiencing our magnificence and being surprised, only to repeat the process all over again. Procrastination, holding back, jumping in, bringing our magnificence, wow, being surprised. Tonight we're going to stop being surprised. Physical creation demands it. If we are passion-driven, we will do the work. We will not procrastinate. We will jump in and I will act now. Not tomorrow, not next week, right now. I'll get that off my plate so it's not haunting me all day long. I'm going to get it off my plate. And when I do the work, I get to meet who I am. And I also have a sense of accomplishment. Start to know who I am. We get to meet the real self. This is how we begin to heal our self-esteem. Because our self-esteem challenges are from voices that say, we don't have that. We're not that. We're less than. We're not equal to. And all of a sudden we shut it off and say, no, I am. My goodness, I just experienced it. Wow! How thrilling is this? And now that I've experienced it, I know who I am. That is so healing. That is so healing. Well, that's why the flutters in our heart vanish. That's why the ant of equanimity, excuse me, the lion of terror, is turned into an ant of equanimity, the peace of mind. Because we meet us. The real us. We talked about goal setting last week. The purpose for that mental creation exercise is so we have an idea of what we'd like it to create. And the steps for creating it so when we wake up in the morning, we know why we're here. I'm going to walk you through a process. We've been through it a few times on our Tuesday night celebrations. It came to me in 2003. I'm sitting in my living room. Our living room, our previous home, facing north. I was in a peach-colored chair. That peach-colored chair has played a lot of roles in our life. And I'm studying the scrolls. And my question is this. My mind is almost always somewhere else. I know that creation occurs when my mind and my body is wedded together. I'm fully present in the now. I know that. What could I do to help me stay more present? And I had an inspired moment, just like I had this morning about the book. It just came so clearly. I just saw the whole thing so clearly. Wow. That's amazing. And I got so excited to do it the next day, and I woke up the next day and did what I saw. first day was okay. Second, third day got tougher. By the fourth day, I was screaming. Got through the week. Then I've invited some coaching clients to try it and see what they thought. Was I the only one having a hard time staying present in the now? I thought I was. I thought everybody else lived here. This is where Ramona lives. She's the most present person I know. She's so present all the time. I thought, well, I'm just a goofball. As we started sharing this with clients, I found out every one of them were having a challenge. And what I'm about to share with you, there's only been 7 or 8 people who have even done it the first week I shared it with them. It was that hard. I don't want to psych you out before I share it with you, but when I share it, you go, that's not that hard. Let's try it. Because I know that the more present I am, the more glorious things happen in my life. And will in yours, the miracles occur here. Right here. In physical creation. I want to give you the pattern. Now, before we go into this pattern, so I'm going to say it's a system, and I get questions after that go like, well, do I do, you know, 59 minutes or 60 minutes, or do I do this? Or don't get caught in any of that. Our objective, let's get really clear, our objective is to bring our passion into the now and to be fully present. That's it. We're going to start by being fully present just 3 times a day. I'm going to bring all of my power. That means my ability to listen, to understand, to ask empathetic questions so they understand, to be safe, create a safe place, take down walls of resistance. My ability to share, my ability to mentally rehearse, to seek inspiration, explore, to problem solve, plan, goal set, to be present, and then I'm going to bring all of that power to these 3 moments. And so we're going to call them power sessions. That's all it is. These aren't productions. We're not bringing a circus. We're just bringing us. My body's already here. Now I'm going to take my mind and say, hey, mind, you're going to be here with your body for the next hour. Fully present. It's called a power session because that very idea is very powerful. That's a power session. Now, to help us and support us in these power sessions, there are some things we can do. And I highly recommend them. Don't get caught up in the support. Stay focused on the power sessions. Stay focused on being fully present and in service. I recommend that you get up early. Now, I used to stay up late and get up late. I concluded I stayed up late because I didn't want the next day to come. If I went to sleep, I had to face another day. I got up late because I didn't want to face it. But my eyes always opened at 5 o'clock. Instead, now they open at 4. However, this morning, we did not get up early, did we, sweetheart?
It felt early.
It felt early. For some, it probably still was. But we get up early. We get the exercise program handled and good breakfast and all those pieces. And then we just spend a moment thinking about the day. Now, this doesn't have to be lengthy. It can be 2 minutes. Take a look at your day. What's on the calendar? What should be on the calendar? What do you want on that calendar? And of all of that, what are the 3 most important moments? Is it 10 o'clock meeting at the office? Is it 2 o'clock when you're going to start making some calls or cold calls? Is it going to be 6 o'clock at dinner with the family or friends? What are the 3 most important times? And you might even seek some guidance about this. Let's go into your mind, stage of your mind, and just envision the day and see what rings true. Well, pick those three times. Just pick them. And focus. How are these three power sessions going to help me get closer to my dream? I want to create one more millimeter today. I want to be 1 millimeter closer. And tomorrow, when it's now day, today, I'm going to be one moment closer. That's a raise an interesting comment. It's fascinating to me how we talk about tomorrow. You know, tomorrow does not exist. It's just an idea. It's just an idea. It's 24 hours from now. It's still today. It's 7:36 where I am. At 8 o'clock, it's still going to be today. 9 o'clock tonight, it's still going to be today. 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, it's still today. It's always now. This is the time. So here we are. What am I going to do in the now, on this next millimeter, or to create this next millimeter, get me one step closer to my dream? So I'm just talking about support now. So we get up early and get our exercise program, get some food in us, decide what we're going to do, and then I recommend reading a scroll. This week, if you'd like to take on this assignment, it's scroll number 5. Read scroll 5. I'll live this day as if it is my last. I'll seal up its container so that not one drop spills upon the sand. I'll waste not a moment mourning yesterday's aches of the heart and all that stuff. I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to spend one moment torturing myself over what could be coming. I'm going to stay present in the now. What a great scroll. This gets you so grounded in the morning. Now, we were talking about mental rehearsal a couple weeks ago. We take that first power session, we start thinking about it. How could I show up? What could I say or do that would be different than any other time? What kind of meeting or connection is it that I'm making? Is it a meeting where I need to become accountable for what I have or have not done? Is it a meeting where I want to come and listen to other people's ideas and find good in them? What is the purpose of this meeting? And come to this power session prepared to be conscious. And then be conscious. Listen like you've never listened before. Let those empathetic questions float to the surface and have the courage to ask them. When you do, see the miracles that get created, the doors that open, the opportunities that show up. Wow, that was a cool power session. Now start mentally rehearsing the next one. How can I show for that one? You're going to be there. Physically, you're going to be in the room. Mentally, you're going to be there too. And how could you, mind and body, show up? A client recently said, I took my boys to the park for a power session. And I found myself turning the gym equipment into a pirate ship. And we were having the most amazing experience in this pirate ship. My boys had the most amazing experience he was talking about, as I'm paraphrasing him now. That's a power session. He really showed up, bringing his mind and his body and his creativity to a moment. How glorious is that? That's a power session. Perhaps it's going to be dinner with family. And you say, I'm going to turn off my cell phone. I can see it already. Oh, can I do that? Not listen to check messages? I'm going to step into someone's world and just ask them questions and listen and connect. And then you start mentally seeing yourself helping to prepare or bringing something home special for it, or maybe helping preparation or doing the preparation, the dishes, whatever it might be. And you can't wait to get to the event and execute on it. You really show up, all of you, in your magnificence, holding nothing back. Foot pressed down on the pedal, full speed for an hour, totally engaged. That's a power session. Now, midday, because a lot can happen in a day. Midday, I recommend that you read scroll 9. I'll act now. My dreams are worthless. Here I'm trying to create the next millimeter, and that my dream is worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they're followed by action. I hunger for success. I thirst for happiness and peace of mind. Lest I act, I will perish in a life of failure, misery, and sleepless nights. I will command. That means mind and body, get over here. We are going to hang out in this power session. I will command, and I will obey my own command. I will act now. What a great scroll to take us through the afternoon. 4.5 minutes. Who doesn't have time to read a scroll for 4.5 minutes so that you're just even more prepared to execute on those power sessions? I promise you, even if you do it, you'll have some thought processes trying to talk you out of it. Resistant to structure. I'm too busy. I'm too tired. A million things going. Well, that's what's keeping us from creation. All that crap. Let's weed it out. Let's get focused. And let's start intentionally creating our lives instead of having all this stuff drive us nuts. It's time to intentionally create. Well, at the end of this day, sorry for being so dramatic there for a minute. At the end of this day, we only read scroll 7. I'll laugh at the world. Because sometimes we're going to need a good laugh. Some days can just try us to the max. So we want to be able to laugh. Now that will support us. And lastly, I think this is one of the best parts, is pausing for just a few moments and writing down in your journal what happened during those power sessions that happened because you were that conscious. What happened? You want to come back months from now and read these entries. Because when you do, you'll see how your life has shifted from these power sessions, just because of them. So remember, our total objective is to be present 3 times a day. Mind and body, fully present. Foot totally on the gas, totally off the brake, bringing all of our genius. We are being genuine. We're being real in that we're having relationships, authentic. We're acting on our own moral authority, doing this right thing for the right reason because we want to, get to, and choose to. We're bringing all of us. And then we're celebrating what gets created in that hour. And again, just to support us in that, consider getting up early. Consider a moment or two to select those two or those 3 times. Take 4.5 minutes to go through scroll 5. Midday to support you, keep you going. Read scroll 9. If you catch the spirit of this, you'll read it for a different reason than just reading it. The end of day 7. And journal what happened. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from you. What miracles you create this week by actually doing this. These power sessions. Now it brings us to one of the things I shared with you a moment ago. And it's fun to have Ramona sitting here next to me because she's here in this moment at night. Because we love to kneel down in the morning and have a prayer together. We do the same thing at night. Now, that's our belief. I don't want to feel anybody feeling comfortable about that. Whatever your belief is, have a moment of meditation at the end of the day. Just lying in bed or on your knees, however you do it. Just reflect on the day. Because here's the promise. The promise. In that moment, if you have shown up 3 times a day, fully, fully shown up, you've done all you can do. Not all that can be done, but all that you can do. And remember I said that the force of creation, the power of the universe, manifests the ideas, the solutions, the impressions, where you see the possibilities in physical creation. When we fully maximize our natural gifts, we're endowed with more. And I shared with you tonight that that's just not more ability. Sometimes there is effort put out on our part to do some of the work. It sounds like this when I can say it. Tonight will be one of those nights. It's emotional just thinking about it. I've done all that I can do today. Not spoken words. Vibrations from the fibers of your being, because you know it. You know in those three power sessions, your mind and your body was present. You know that you were fully available. You were listening differently. You were showing up differently. You had creative ideas come to your mind. You executed on them without any fear or hesitation. You acted. You turned lions of terror into ants of equanimity. You had miracles occur in your life. This is a glorious, you know this. I have done all that I can do today. Would you soften hearts and prepare the way while I sleep? I know tonight there'll be more work done while I'm sleeping than I did today. Because I know tonight I'm going to be able to claim that promise. We want to live so that we can. This is the truth of creation. There's power. That power, when we're in mental creation with the intention of engaging and embracing and connecting and serving and creating value and contributing to the world, when that's our intention, that force will give us inspired ideas, manifest inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to challenges. That's the gift. They will ignite our passion. We'll bring that passion into the here and now, and we will work without counting the cost or tracking the time. We'll engage in power sessions. We'll create miracles. We'll find in those moments that we're endowed with even more ability. We'll know that when we're doing it, sometimes there are blessings that are created when we're not even participating. And lastly, people will be put on our path who we can serve and who can serve us, and we will know when it occurs. Wow. Wow. Was that just kind of an accident? Heck no. You're becoming an intentional creator, and the most intentional creator of all just gave you a gift. Thank you. I can trust you with this because I know you'll do something about it. And when we approach creation the way I've described to you tonight, it occurs at the fastest pace possible. When we are in passion-driven action, it's really amazing to watch, fully present. Kevin Hall, for those of you who know Kevin, I think you can get on to this call tomorrow. Just go to his website. I'm not sure how you get on. He's having an Aspire call tomorrow night. He's asked me to join him at 6 o'clock Mountain Time. We're going to talk about this. Kevin invited Ramon and I to come down and speak at his, I think I may have mentioned this last week, if I did, bear with me because I think it's worth repeating, to come down and speak at his retreat in at Coronado Island, the 1906, what do they call it? Lodge, 1906 Lodge. Very intimate bed and breakfast, 35 people there by the time it all came together. Had an opportunity to speak on Friday to that group. Kevin flew with us on the same flight from Salt Lake to San Diego. And he needed to get his shoes polished, so we went ahead to get luggage and pick up a box that he was bringing with some books. And Ramon and I were sitting there. We bought a parfait, you know, a little yogurt to kind of hold us over for our midday snack. And I saw Kevin come down the escalator, and all of a sudden this lady calls out his name. He calls out her name. They give each other a big hug, and they start talking. And we're far enough away. Ramon and I think this is somebody that's coming to the event. So we got everything up, and we worked our way over to Kevin and got introduced to Allison. What a sweetheart. Turned out Kevin had met her 2 years ago when he was speaking in Dallas. And then she had interviewed him on her radio station. And she was in town for a Lisa Nichols event. Lisa was in the secret. Lisa understands the creation of things, actually doing the work of creation. And a connection was made. Before that weekend was over, Lisa was speaking at Kevin's event. If I'm correct, Kevin was speaking at hers, and he's talking about the next event in January, and Lisa's going to take one of the days. She's starting think I can share this all with you. The Genshai Nation, the Genshai Nation. Genshai meaning never make anyone feel small, including yourself. Genshai Nation. As a matter of fact, there were people at that event who'd already, they had taken the Genshai license plate for, one was from Oregon, and one was from California, and one from Utah, and, you know, it's a very popular license plate, Genshai. If it's in your state, check and see if it's there. G-N-S-H-A-I. You want to grab it. The Genshai Nation. People who are focused on blessing the lives of other people, at least will be there speaking. Point is this. Kevin is always present. He's always looking for the person who's put on his path that he can serve. That's how he lives. And I've watched miracles unfold in his life. Unbelievable miracles. You would think, listening to some people who talk about sitting in an easy chair, visualizing success and having it just show up, that that's what he's doing. No. He works 20-hour days, writes when he has a break. He's constantly, constantly creating, speaking, training, teaching. He had to be dead exhausted, and yet walking through the airport, he is paying attention. By the time we were done, three people had his book, including little Mia, who was there behind the counter, who took our pictures, and he felt impressed to take a book back into her, so he signed it and took it back into her. Who knows what's going to happen to her life? This is miraculous to watch. Someone who does this at a high level, and we watch the doors open. And his book is just taking off. What a great example for all of us to follow. Someone who's truly practicing intentional creation and does the mental creation at a high level and the physical creation at a very high level. When I grow up, I want to be like Kevin. Oh, may we all tonight look at this differently than we ever have before. Could we do that? Could we finally stop living in resentment or frustration that it's not happening fast enough, or because we, again, can create in a nanosecond in our mind great success. That doesn't make it so. That just shows us what's possible. Do we want it so that we can buy that tropical island and tell the world to go to heck because we're sick and tired of annoying people? Are we in a business where we have to talk to people? And do we have to act like we care about them till we get enough of them to buy our products so we don't have to deal with them anymore? Do we ever feel like that? Let's make the decision tonight to re-engage in life so that we can receive inspired ideas and impressions, so they will be manifest. Our passion can be ignited, and we can be actively engaged in creation, the physical creation of that which we've seen so clearly in our mind. And when it's finally manifest through our work and additional gifts of ability, people being put on our path, we can sit back and look at that and see the miracle in all of it. Now, often those miracles are only miracles in retrospect. But may we trust that this is how we create. Let us not waste any time in fantasy or in some ooh-ah approach to wealth. This requires we roll up our sleeves and get down in the trenches. That dark, rich soil, as Kevin calls it, humus, humility. And may we willingly submit to whatever it requires to get there, knowing that there'll be lessons we'll need to learn. Things that will prepare us, will test our mettle, so that we're capable of handling ever-increasing levels of success. And watch. Well, don't watch. Create. And then witness the truth of what I've shared with you tonight. Well, if anything I've said tonight has served you, take just a moment, drop me an email, dave@augmandino.com. Just let me know. I said a few things tonight I haven't said before on this program. And it was for you. You wanted to know what to do. I have shared what I'm going to say in conclusion. Because in the darkest night of our life, darkest night, awful, awful moment, when the decision to live, literally, was made, I cried out in anger. As many of you are, I long to cry to the God of my youth. But the God of my youth will not hear my cry. I must change my God, or change my cry. That was 1992. The night I began to change my cry. May this be the night you change yours, so that we can get about creation and not fantasy and frustration. That's my hope for you. Well, thanks for being here tonight. And I wish you the very best as you go through this process this week. Being fully present 3 times a day. Mind and body. Experience you. And let others experience you. See what miracles you create. And with a little support by reading the scrolls and doing a little journaling. Have a night or two when you can, with great conscience, say, I've done all I can do.